All right, my name is Justin Lugo. I'm with ReviewFix.com, and today I am joined by Philly Fizz Rock stalwart Aaron Fox. Aaron, say hello.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
Doing all right.
All right. Tell me a little bit about Resilient. By that, I mean, when did the band start? I know on your bio you had mentioned that you were formed out of the pieces or the ashes of a few other bands before you. Tell me a little bit about what forming Resilient was like.
So, me and my sister have always kind of been playing music together since we were kids, and we've been in and out of different bands, and there was just a time period where we took a break from that, and Resilient was sort of us coming back to it. I had started making music with our guitarist at the time, separately as like a studio project, and wanted to choose the rhythm section. I brought in my sister, and she brought in a bass player friend of hers from a different band she had been in, and what was meant to just be like a studio project turned into us being a band in a short period of time, just because a friend, you know, desperately needed a band to jump on a bill for a show, and we were like, all right, well, we've been rehearsing for this other thing, I guess we could do it, you know.
Right, you had already
and
had
we
a...
We just, like, never stopped after that, so, yeah, we've been doing it ever since, and it's been great, you know. I mean, we have our, like, obstacles, which is, I guess, why we have our name, but the music is what's, like, held us together, really.
Yeah, I saw you had mentioned that as well, that the band was kind of born out of... couple of life-altering moments, and hence the name Resilient. So you said you started the band with your sister, who you'd been playing music with your entire life, essentially. Have you always sort of had similar interests as one another, or are you kind of bringing separate things to the table? Are you more of a grunge person? She's more of a metal girl, or, you know, does that kind of, have you always been on similar wavelengths as far as music goes?
Yeah, somewhat, and then there are things that she'll like, you know, we're super close, so if we're
right
in the car, she'll put something on that I hate, that she'll love, and we have opposing interests, too, so.
Feel free to throw her under the bus. What's something terrible that she likes?
Oh, man, I hate to throw her under the bus, but occasionally she'll put on, like, a Disturbed song or something, and I'll just be like, no.
I'll allow it.
It's like a guilty pleasure of hers.
Yeah, I can
She's
understand that.
She's gonna hate me for saying that.
Well, thank you, nonetheless. I'm gonna be honest, I don't know much about, like, Philly or its music scene at all. I'm from the Bronx, New York. Was there any sort of music scene that you and she were able to sort of identify with growing up, or was did you just kind of have one another to vibe off of musically? I know a lot of your music, it really ranges in influence. There's, you know, there's grunge stuff. I like that you said prog pop on the bio, because that's so specific and accurate. It's something I'd never even heard before prior to reading that.
Yeah, it's really hard when you're, like, trying to describe, when people ask you to describe your own music, and you're like, oh, man, I don't know.
You know? Right, right.
You don't want to give somebody the wrong idea, but at the same time, you don't want to, like, sound like you're stroking your own ego too much.
Right.
It's just such a weird thing to have to answer.
No, of course, of course. The reason I ask, I just wanted to know, is there any sort of, like, what's going on in the Philly scene right now? How are you, Resilient, being received in the Philly scene? Is there sort of, like, a neo-grunge or rock movement going on at the moment, or did you guys kind of come out of left field? What are you drawing from as far as the city goes, and how's that worked for you?
So me and my sister, like, had started playing music actually out in the suburbs of Philly, and all of that began because our parents are also musicians, and were pretty active in the cover band scene.
Got
when we were kids, and, like, that was kind of how they supported us growing up. So we got the privilege of playing with a lot of older, experienced musicians and learned a ton of classic rock stuff, a ton of, you know, Motown stuff, and then classical and jazz, too. So Katie played in jazz bands. I also, my first instrument was viola, not guitar. So
oh, cool.
I played in orchestras as a kid. So we ended up kind of having this well-rounded musical background before we started playing original music.
Right.
And once we started, you know, branching out and doing things in Philadelphia, I think that helped us out, like, a lot when it came to coming up with our own music and then linking up with other bands. We just have this history with, there's not much separation between everybody, so there's always, when we meet somebody, it's, we kind of already knew them through somebody else.
Right, right. A lot of scenes are insular that way.
When we were kids. So,
yeah.
Or at least we find that out later. Everybody's connected. So,
right,
and
right.
That's the cool thing about being in a little big city like Philadelphia.
Do you have any like sister or brother bands you want to shout out that you play shows with more than the others?
Definitely.
Or?
So Alicia, our bassist, is in another band called At Best. They're
okay.
Amazing. Our former guitarist Lennon actually heads that band. Great music. I want to give a shout out to All Right Junior. That's my significant other's band, and we play a lot of shows with them.
Cool.
Dear Forbidden is another great band. Trying to think. There's so many.
Like, no, that's great. That's great. I figured you always end up forming sort of like a sibling relationship with another band at some point if you've been around an insular scene that kind of, you know, everyone starts playing with one another, playing in each other's bands. You tend to know them on a different level. So that's great. I hope everybody checks those bands out.
I recently just joined up with a, I'm just playing guitar and keys in this band, but I joined up with some girls in the neighborhood, and it's a rap rock outfit.
No room for your vocals there?
What's that?
No room for your vocals there? Not even texture stuff?
Oh, it's just like a totally different, you know.
Vibe.
It's,
yeah.
I don't really know how to describe it, but I guess like rap rock is sort of accurate. And, yeah, I'm not really a rapper, so it wouldn't make sense.
Heard. Understood. I feel like anytime a woman's at the helm of like a guitar centric band, they're almost doomed to draw comparisons to like the Pixies or even Hole, depending on how lame the interview is. That's like doubly true if the band tends to like employ the loud, quiet, loud dynamic. Is that something you find that you're kind of circumnavigating? Because I feel like grunge is such a weird phrase because it doesn't really refer to anything specific. But there totally are grunge bands, and I think you guys totally do fit in that grunge label somehow. Your guitarist's last name is Cantrell, so, I mean, you know what I mean? There's
it's actually Cantwell.
Oh, okay, see? Good correction there.
but, yeah, he actually is currently not our guitarist, but still a very close friend.
Got ya.
but, yeah, he was on the record and did tour with us. We just actually got a new guitarist. Her name is Ellen.
Oh, cool.
Tiberio Shoals. So now we are 100% female band.
Cool. Is that the first time that's happened? I think the other two were male, correct?
Yeah, it is the first time. It's pretty exciting. Oh, and I got to shout out her band too. She's got a group called Ellen Siberian Tiger. They're pretty amazing as well.
So basically, all of you have like a side project to sort of, you know, like dump your other influences on. That's pretty cool. That's a good creative outlet.
Yeah.
And
my sister's in a prog band called The Cozy. How could I forget?
The Cozy. Like the product?
I don't think so. I'll have to ask how they came up with that name. I'm not quite sure.
No problem. I want to zone in on you specifically for a second. I think a big part of what I was sort of drawn to on How It's a Peach was your lyrics. And I like them because they range from really sort of sarcastic or distant and detached. I mentioned in my review the point on medication where you start rattling off the side effects of the medication. I think it's an antidepressant. That's what I gathered. But then on other parts of the album, you get really almost like prosaic and honest. And I just wanted to know, what are some lyrics that sort of stand out to you as maybe defining moments on How to Peach? Or maybe you don't think of lyrics that way at all. Maybe it's more of a stream of consciousness thing for you. What's your lyrical process like, and how does it differ on song to song? Do you kind of listen to the tonality of the song first? What's your process like?
It varies for different songs. Like, different songs happen different ways, and I can't really... That's the thing about it. I like feeling like I'm in control of a situation,
right.
And that's the one situation in my life that I'm never in control of, is songwriting. It just kind of happens, and it's never the same.
I completely understand.
Sometimes I'll get both music and lyrics at once. sometimes I'll just get some lyrics and I save them for later, and sometimes I'll just get a really cool riff and I'll have to sit on it for a long time and until boom, I have like a, oh great, I just like heard that in my head with some words, like,
right,
but I don't have any rhyme or reason to it.
Right. So would you say, like, within the course of let's say, like, over the course of one song, would you say that there are generally multiple themes then lyrically, or do you kind of try to tie it in together, like put a bow on it, and make your songs a little more like self-contained lyrically?
I feel like it comes out best the less I try. If that
cool.
makes sense.
No, it totally does.
The more I try too hard, then I ruin it. You know?
It sounds like you're trying too hard. I get that. You kind of just got to let it happen.
Yeah, and I mean, thematically, it's usually just sort of whatever mood I'm in or whatever I'm reacting to in my environment.
Right.
It could be a current event. It could be something that happened to me personally, you know.
Right.
It could be anything, but it's usually just from, you know, deep-seated emotion.
Yeah, of course. Got you. I see you've got a couple of dates coming up, something like a week or two long tour. You got a date in New York. What are some of the short and long term goals you've got in mind for Resilient? Maybe just talk about 2018 and what that's shaping up to be for you.
I mean, we're hoping to maybe get into management territory eventually, just to make touring easier.
Right.
So, or at least a good booking agent, because it's getting to the point where it's really hard to do it all yourself.
Right, right. Understood.
So that's like that's one goal, and then, you know, put out more music. Of course, we're writing new songs right now and finishing that up, and we'd eventually like to venture out to the West Coast and do more with touring.
I think you'd be very well received in the West Coast. Personally, I think that'd be kind of like a nice ground zero for you guys to expand upon once you get there.
Yeah, and I mean, I've never been, so I just love the experience of playing music out there at all.
Right, right.
Once we're financially prepared.
That all sounds great. Do you have a timeline as far as the new album might be, or is that something that's more tentative once the tracks are more formulated and whatnot?
I'm going to say tentative right now, just because we just got a new member, and we're
right.
working through, you know, the live set and the new songs, and it's, like, a lot all at once.
What's the new member process like? Any like, hazing? Or
No, we we try and be as welcoming as possible. It's all about, like, just play the song, you know, play the music, and as long as the musical chemistry is good, everything else is usually good, so.
She's picking up on everything so far, so good, huh, though?
Oh yeah, she's a very astute musician, very accomplished. So she's also a cellist.
So what was that? Viola, cellist, and what was Kate's?
Kate plays drums and sings.
Okay, you said you played viola as a kid, and she played cello.
Oh no, Ellen plays cello.
Got it. I see. All right.
He had a short affair with the French horn. it's very short-lived.
You think any of those might appear on any future release? You think any of those instruments might appear on any future releases?
Maybe. I mean, I did the strings with a friend on Imagining Things. But we didn't do any strings on How to Peach. We just kind of, like, ran out of, you know, resources and
right,
time.
Right.
So
it works as a guitar centric piece, though. I think that it like, as far as thematics go, it probably is better that it was all just kind of fizzy driven and straightforward almost.
Yeah.
I even like the structure of the album. Like, it kind of starts and ends with what I would consider to be kind of like straightforward rocker, like grunge tracks, real heavy. Starts fast, ends fast, and you've got plenty of time in the middle to kind of work on all the other influences. But I appreciated the sort of movement of the album and how it was sort of stacked that way.
Well, thank you.
No problem.
It took a while to think about the track listing. Actually, I mean, my sister's pretty much responsible for a lot of that track order, because I'm kind of bad at, like, picking what order things should go in.
Right.
I don't know if it's because she's a drummer or what, but she's really good at picking flow for like mixes and stuff.
That's super important. People don't realize that.
Kids, and she was always good at that.
Yeah. No, that's a really important thing, and a lot of people don't realize that, is just understanding how to make an album sound good from front to end, and yours doesn't drag at any point, so she's doing a great job. Is that just her kind of, like, sitting down with it and trying it in different orders, or does she have something in mind generally, or...?
This was even, like, before we even recorded the album, I had said, like, man, have you thought about, like, what order we should put stuff in, and... I said something to her based on, like, what order we placed the plot, and she was like, no, it should be this. And I was like, okay, and I think there was only one adjustment made to it.
Right.
So.
All right.
She's pretty spot on.
Well, thank you, Aaron. I'm glad you got to sit down with me today. Is there anything else you'd like to plug before you go? Anything you'd like to say?
So in May, every year we do a special benefit for the American Brain Tumor Association. It's called Brain Fest. A bunch of bands play, and all the proceeds go to the cause. And it's super near and dear to us. I mean, I'm a brain tumor survivor, so is my mother.
Oh, wow. Resilient,
some
huh?
Some of our friends, we've lost friends to it. So it's just something that Resilient likes to do every year, and it's going to be at Connie's Rick Rack in South Philly.
All right, that's amazing. Thank you so much.